Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I'm here with Jenny from JH Marketing Results. Jenny, pleasure to have you on the show today.
Hi Josh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. So Jenny, if you wouldn't mind just starting off by telling us a little bit about yourself, what do you do now? And if you want, you can start getting into a little bit of how you got there and we can kind of work our way through your story.
Yeah, that sounds great. So yes, I'm Jenny. I am a visibility consultant. So basically, that's just fancy language for a marketing strategist that really specializes in getting online entrepreneurs seen a lot faster. And I use a lot of uncommon marketing tactics that really break through the noise online and go above and beyond what a lot of competitors are doing in your industry so that you stand out more. So that's really like one of my favorite things to talk about and do. So I'm excited to be here and chat with you.
Awesome. I'm selfishly excited to talk about that because that's what I'm kind of focusing on right now for my brand. I want to ask, how did you land on the title visibility consultant? I don't think I've ever seen that before.
It is really what I do is very unique and different. It's something a lot of entrepreneurs, when they get on the phone with me for a call or they see me, you know, online somewhere, they're like, wow, once I listen to you, you know, do your live training or do your webinar, I have never thought of any of these marketing tactics before. Right. And that's really what makes it so great and unique. You know, when you are building a brand and your brand is just being swallowed up by every other person on your left and your right, and you're having trouble kind of standing out, you've got to think outside the box. And what I find a lot of entrepreneurs doing is the very typical day-to-day, what I call foundational marketing strategies. Something very simple like leveraging your own social media accounts. You know, hey, I am everywhere. I am visible. I'm being seen. I have my own Facebook group. I have my own Facebook page. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on all of these things. And then they say, okay, well, I've hit a certain income level. And usually I work with entrepreneurs who hit around 5K a month or so. They're somewhere between 3 to 5K a month or beyond that. And they really want to level it up, but they've done all the visibility work, or so they think. They think Right. They're doing quote unquote everything online. And they're wondering why they're not hitting their dream income goals. They're wondering why they're not being considered an influencer in the community yet. Those are all dreams and things that they want to get to, but they don't know how to get there. And I really feel that a lot of that is because you're doing the foundational marketing things, the very basic things. And yes, they work to a certain extent. And when you really want to level it up and get seen online and be seen as a thought leader and an expert, you've got to go above and beyond. And that's really what I help my clients do.
Right. That sounds awesome. The title makes complete sense with that background. And I want to go into some of those. I'm actually pretty excited to get into some of those strategies and tactics to kind of get to the next level. But another big part of the show is learning how you got to where you were. So let's take it back a few steps. I don't know, you know, maybe you finished high school or you finished undergrad. Kind of, could you take us back to when you were starting your professional career or whatever you want to call it and how you got to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I actually started my first company when I was 19 years old. I was in college and it happened on accident. I began as a portrait photographer. I was really doing a lot of weddings and senior pictures and family photos. I later expanded into some indoor studio work, but I really liked natural light photography and candid outdoor sessions. And that's probably why to this day in my business, I focus on, you know, being authentic and authenticity and telling your story and your why and being real. But I started out as a photographer at a really young age. Actually, you know, I started my interest probably like 12, 13, really seriously. My parents always knew what to get me for the holiday season. It was always a new camera. I'd grow out of my cameras every single year. But when I was 14, I met my biological grandfather. My mom was adopted and she ended up tracking down her birth parents. And I had this interest in photography. And when I met my grandfather, he was like, yeah, I'm a photographer. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's in my blood. This is why.
It's funny how those things work out sometimes.
It really is. So we bonded over that. And he spent the next several years teaching me how to be a photographer too. And I grew under his guidance. And that's ended up, you know, kind of what led me to starting my business. And I thought it was, you know, something fun. It was something casual. It was just something I was doing while I was in college on the weekends. You know, everybody else is partying and getting drunk on Friday night. And I'm like, oop, can't do that. I got a session at 9 a.m., guys. I got a wedding at 2 o'clock. Like, right. I just lived a little bit differently in college. I was working a lot. And, you know, in my first couple months of business, I worked with this incredible family. I mean, they were amazing. And I still keep in touch to them. With them to this day. And they had a beautiful baby girl. And she was about maybe 8 or 9 months old at the time that she came to my session. And it was their family's second session with me. They had just had their oldest daughter do their senior pictures with me. And so they scheduled a family session pretty soon after. So I was familiar with the family, but this is the first time I was meeting everybody together for family photos. And they mentioned during the session that this was their first like family photo session professionally done since the baby was born. The baby had never had professional photos taken. And so I was playing and I just love kids. So I was playing with the baby and I was like, hey, do you mind if I take like a few extra pictures? Like I promise it's not like something that's like normally included in the package, but I'm not going to charge you for it. So I took some extra photos of the baby and I gave those pictures to the family afterward. And what I didn't know at the time, or nobody knew, was that she ended up passing away from SIDS a few weeks after the photo session. Wow. And, you know, I'm sitting in a funeral home at 19 years old with, you know, just some of my first few clients. And I'm realizing as I'm looking around the room that every picture, you know, hanging in frames or on the wall are like computer print offs of my photo session. Because it had happened so fast that they hadn't even had time to go and get them, you know, actually printed yet. So that was really humbling. You know, at 19, I'm sitting there going, wow, you know, this isn't about the money that I'm making, you know, for an hour on a Saturday morning. This isn't about, you know, making a sale or making a, you know, being able to pay off my student loan bills. You know, this is about people's lives. This is real. Like, I spent 1 hour with them and now I have pictures that are forever in their memory and they're some of the last ones taken of their daughter. And they ended up using the photos I took to as like her gravestone image. And they also have one of my photos tattooed on a family member. So wow. It was just so humbling. And I'm just a teenager. I'm just a kid and I'm just starting a business. And I'm like realizing like, this is about more than you. Like none of this has anything to do with you. And the more I worked in as an entrepreneur, the more I realized, you know, I was some of the last people to take pictures of a grandparent. I would get calls a couple years later and say, hey, so-and-so died. You know, he's the dad in the session that we did like a couple years ago. Do you still have some of those photos? You know, I've been there for people's marriages. I've been there for people's births. You know, it's just really humbling. And that's why I became a entrepreneur and a serial entrepreneur of that, because I realized that this was bigger than me and it really mattered to other people. And I had the ability to change lives or impact lives in some way just from a few minutes with one person. And I expanded into marketing consulting by 20 because I was doing really well in my photography business. And I was able to use a lot of those guerrilla marketing strategies and teach them to other people. So I've been consulting ever since. And I've definitely experienced a lot of things. You know, it's exciting for me to help my clients book out classes. It's exciting for me to have clients move from part-time to full-time. It's, you know, it's amazing to know that they've been able to increase their social media engagement by like 50% in like a small period of time. Like those are really big accomplishments, but I always go back to, why did I start this? Why did I do this? And really making sure that that is the key and the reason why I do everything that I do.
Right, right. Yeah, that's, I mean, just thinking back to that funeral, that's such a powerful, powerful event to go through. And so at what point, do you still do photography? Did you transition at some point fully from photography to the marketing consultant stuff, and obviously now, you know, your visibility consultant title?
Yes. So I ended up graduating college. I had done a few more things in college. I ended up, you know, kind of getting interested in the public relations side of the house. So I started adventuring into different businesses. I started a modeling and acting career. I did a lot of short films, magazine covers, commercials. I became known for marketing myself and pitching in order to get opportunities. So I ended up moving into the entertainment industry and started, you know, signing bands and musicians as my clients and did PR management for a while. And then I really started to transition after college. I was getting all this PR stuff. I was doing all this photography stuff. I was running these businesses and doing marketing, and I loved it. But obviously I graduated and I knew it was time to move out of the area. And so I left my localized businesses back in the state I was from and started venturing out into traveling and, you know, working for the corporate sector and nonprofit sector. And that was really exciting for me. I ended up launching a ton of social media campaigns in the nonprofit and corporate sector. I was able to run campaigns that basically equated to the results that organizations were getting in their paid marketing strategy, but mine were completely free. And I started working in sales and marketing and launching new products to the market. I became interested in product launches. And eventually, by the time I was 23 years old, I was working as a marketing director for an international program. And within a year on the job, you know, one of my marketing campaigns went viral and it ended up being briefed to Congress as a success story. And so that's kind of where I was like, oh, I'm really onto something with this campaign thing. And I started, you know, using it in my coaching business because I've had various levels of my consulting. So, you know, I'd have clients and I'd coach them through like, hey, these are some of the things that and tactics that you can use. These are some of the things that I'm testing time and time again, and they're working in my own business and they're working in other people's businesses. I'm actually a professor now and I teach this to students.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So like I just became obsessed with organic social media and marketing campaigns that really solidified influencer status and showed thought expertise in various things and skyrocketed engagement and reach. And, you know, we're full on beyond just, hey, I'm going to post on Facebook today. I'm going to post on Instagram today. It's really about creating a robust marketing strategy that comes from all angles and building that up so that you have traffic coming in from multiple avenues. And you're positioned as the leader in that conversation. And that's really what was exciting for me. And, you know, while I had achieved great success in my corporate career and great success in my businesses, I ended up having a near-death experience not actually that long ago. And it really made me reevaluate my entire life and go back to, you know, my first year in business at 19 and saying, you know, what is my why? Why am I doing this? And what is my career goals? And what do I want to get to? And I decided I really wanted to do more. I wanted to help more people change their lives. I wanted to support others in gaining the knowledge that I had learned after so much success and failures of entrepreneurship, corporate level jobs, and just life in general. And so that's really what made me rebrand my consulting business and launch it as these done for you online campaigns to help entrepreneurs and companies grow their businesses a lot faster. I call it results in a month because my campaigns are no longer than 4 weeks, but they create massive, you know, growth and results and opportunities for those who implement them. So it's so much fun. It's so rewarding. I left my full-time corporate job at 25 and travel the world and bounce from city to city, living the laptop lifestyle with the mission of helping more people become successful. And it's just really fulfilling and I absolutely love it.
Right. That's amazing. There's so much that you just mentioned that I want to dig deeper into and hopefully we will. The first question that pops into my mind, Jenny, is it sounds like you've done a lot in a relatively little amount of time in terms of the length of your career and the items that are on your resume. How did you manage all of that? You know, you like you said, you were running a business in college when others were partying, you were moving around a lot, you were doing consulting while you were doing photos, and then while you were doing your corporate job, I'm assuming you were still doing some stuff on the side. As a solopreneur who has to wear a lot of hats and things can get really busy. How did you manage all of that? Are you very, do you schedule everything to the minute? If you could go into a little detail about that, I'm really interested to hear more.
Yeah, I would definitely say I value time. And, you know, that's something I really value for my clients too. You know, when you are successful and you're making an income and you are the one woman show or the one man show, whatever it ends up being, you know, your time is limited and it's really about maximizing how much you can do in a small period of time. I mean, yeah, I'd go and work 8 hours a day, 9 hours total with like a commute and lunch. So, I mean, how much time did I have in the evenings to work? And so I really worked on building tactics that I knew gave me ROI. And one of the things I cared so much about was data, because I was able to make educated decisions based on data. And that's really where I, you know, saw through the various campaigns I was running, through the various events I was doing, and through the various marketing avenues I was using, you know, what was giving me an ROI and how could I inflate those numbers even more by marketing it a new way or a different way, or bringing in a collaboration partner or doing some additional PR. How could I make that benefit me more? And so through a lot of that trial and error, I did a lot of the hard work for my clients. And so now I know that the tested strategies that I've done repeatedly and which ones worked and which ones didn't and why they worked and why they didn't and what the data showed and what the data didn't show and where I needed to go in and fill those missing pieces. And so a lot of it really was, you know, I literally was out there flailing for a few years, like literally like, what do I do? Until I really figured out what was working. And, you know, it takes some of those times. Not everything that I have ever started, you know, skyrocketed off the ground quickly. I've made money at everything I've done. I've turned every hobby into something that made money. So I enjoy what I do and it doesn't feel like work to me. But yeah, managing what I do is really important. I am a stickler for sticky notes. I have written agendas everywhere. I have checklists and alarms set and I'm always on time and making sure everything is organized. Because I want to manage my own time. And I also know, you know, who to get on the phone with. You know, can they already invest in what I offer? Are they fully in it? Because I'm fully in it. Are they equally as invested? And knowing where to spend my time and where not to spend my time in social media, in email marketing, in collaborations and public relations strategies. And then as your name starts to get more and more well known, a lot of the opportunities, I swear, start to fall into your lap. So if you can build that foundation, the rest starts to kind of come to life.
Awesome. So that's a great segue, because I'd love to start getting into some of these strategies and tactics that you're so well versed in. To take us back to kind of the beginning of it, you started around 19, you're doing the photo stuff. You said you were doing a lot of things that was basically getting you business that didn't cost much. Mm-hmm. When you started seeing the success in building your own kind of reputation, PR, was it just flailing? How were you figuring out these strategies and what were some of the ones that started working early on?
So if I go back to my photography business, and I will say that this is a common theme I see in a lot of different entrepreneurs, is referrals. Referrals are huge. And I think a lot of people underestimate them. So they spend all day on social media, you know, posting content and this and trying to build that know, like, and trust factor. And that is so true. So true. But again, it's your foundational marketing. Once you've got your foundation, you've got, you know, a few clients in your door, then it's about referrals. And so a lot of entrepreneurs miss out on leveraging people who already love them.
Right.
So, you know, as a photographer, you know, one of the ways that I did that on social media, and of course, this was years ago and algorithms are slightly different now, but the concept is still the same. So when somebody would do a session with me, the first thing I did was make sure that they had a timely turnaround. The worst thing you can do as an entrepreneur is keep people in limbo. And then their excitement kind of wanes off and they're not willing to spend as much money because they're not excited about it anymore. And I definitely learned that in photography. So when people are excited and motivated and they're like, let's do this, that's when you book. So I'd book my clients, get them in as quickly as I could into the session. And then I'd give them like a preview photo, like just a snippet, like, hey, this is coming your way. Get excited. Here's the first shot. And I'd post that online and I'd get people to tag me in it and I'd get them to tag their closest family and friends in it. And so what would end up happening was their friends and family would end up seeing my photo posted on social media and they'd be tagged in it. And so they'd start commenting on it. They'd start liking it. They'd start saying like, oh my gosh, you look amazing, Jessica, like happy senior year. Or, you know, congratulations on your wedding, guys. Like we were so excited to spend the day with you. And, you know, every other to-be bride or every other to-be senior or every other family that was like, wow, that location was amazing. I definitely need to get family portraits in time for holiday cards, you know, would see that. And then I knew that the second a preview photo went up, I'd get a flood of messages to my inbox. It was social proof. It was a referral because they liked the photo. And it was very, very fast. And so I knew that my weekends after my sessions, my busiest time would be the first 5 hours after I posted a preview session, because that's when everybody would come to me looking for my availability and my pricing. And so I just prepared for that, which is why I wasn't out partying, because at 10 o'clock at night after my preview session was posted, I'd be getting messages upon messages. And that was when they were excited and that's when they were ready to book. So I kind of knew that. I knew those patterns. And I took that lesson into a lot of my other businesses and with a lot of clients. One of the things that I offer in my Done For You packages is a Done For You referral program marketing kit. So if you have a business with foundational clients in it, you know how to reach out to them and ask them if they want to be part of your referral program, working with me to come up with the incentive, because they're already talking about you online. So now you're just encouraging them to talk about you even more. And what reward you can give them for doing that. You know, for me, sometimes it was a free photography session. Sometimes it was a credit toward a session. You know, whatever it may be, people are, if they love you, they're already going to talk about you. So why not give them more reasons to talk about you or remind them just to talk about you? You have to ask, you know, hey, you have an opening this weekend, so-and-so. Hey, I know we had a great session, you know, 2 months ago. You happen to know anybody? I've got some free sessions open this weekend. And that concept moves beyond photography. It moves in service-based businesses. It moves in anything that you do. You have to keep that line of communication open with your prior clients. It's beyond just getting a testimonial from them. I think a lot of entrepreneurs stop there. Like, hey, got this really great paragraph about how awesome I am. Cool. Put it on your website, but then keep the relationship going and reward people. It's the same reason why affiliate programs work very well too. You're giving somebody an incentive for talking about you and they already would be talking about you because they love your product or they've done your, you know, they've gone through your service or they've done your course or you've coached them prior. So building that loyal following is definitely key. That's one of those tactics I think a lot of people forget.
Right. Do you have a suggestion or one or two suggestions for an incentive to provide to previous clients? Like, let's say what you're offering is kind of a one-off type of, you know, whatever it may be, a widget or a service. What can you use to incentivize those customers to send referrals?
It could be really simple, but it also depends on what your business is and what your goals are. So like I said, for photography, it was a free session, but you know, for an affiliate program, it's usually commission. And anybody can be an affiliate. They just have to know the laws and the disclosures required to be an affiliate and to advertise for you. But, you know, you can definitely give a percentage off of a future product. You can give them a free version of your product. Maybe you have a free book that you've written or an ebook or some sort of bonus that's not offered to people normally for free. And you give them that as an incentive. Right. I definitely nurture a lot of my relationships with my past clients. Like you know, it's more than just sending a holiday card around wintertime. It's, you know, sending them surprise gifts in the mail. It's just being unexpected, all of those ways nurture an audience to be like, oh yeah, I remember that I worked with so-and-so. Oh wow, 4 months later, I've got this free gift in the mail. Wow, I forgot that I had worked with her. I wonder what I could use help with her, or him again with. I had been meaning to tell my neighbor down the street about so-and-so, and now you've sent me something that reminds me that you exist.
Right.
It's really about nurturing those relationships, and it could be anything. It's just, it depends on what your business is and what you can offer.
Right. Yeah. It's so important to cater really everything to, like you said, what you're doing, what you're selling, what your goal is, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say, Jenny, you get contacted by, or someone pays you to help with coaching and they're brand new, or they're working full time and they want to start a brand on the side. Maybe they're not 100% sure what their product will be yet or their service will be yet, but they're like, you know what? I'm missing out on an opportunity here. I want to build a brand. You know, it could be, I mean, we could pick something for fun just to maybe make the suggestions more specific. But do you have any kind of general first tips for people who are getting started?
So a lot of the people that are just getting started really need to focus on the basics. Again, it's establishing your own social media accounts, gaining followers, writing a consistent message, putting value out there, doing live trainings, getting active in Facebook groups, getting active on LinkedIn, networking, building connections. Those are all things that are vital for new people. A campaign strategy like the ones that I described that have gone viral in the past or started trending on social media, those are for people that are more established. You've got that foundation in place. You've got that, follower account. You've got that loyal following. You've got those foundational clients and you're ready to level it up. At the end of the day, it takes about, let's say on average, the stat is around 7 times for somebody to see an advertisement or see somebody and take action on it. Sometimes that's more, sometimes that's less. It really depends on your marketing and your know, like, and trust factor. So think about that when you're building a business. How am I getting in front of people multiple times in multiple ways, despite the fact that the Facebook algorithm is difficult, despite that only a few of my followers are going to see what I'm doing, despite that, I work full time and I might not be online at 12 o'clock in the afternoon when my client is, or my potential client is, because they're on a different time zone than me. How can you continue to move forward and build that foundation? When you're ready to level it up, that's when the campaigns come in. You set that parameter for that marketing plan, that 4 weeks, and you say, I have this end goal and I've built this audience and now I'm going to prime them. I'm going to prime them so that they know who I am, so that they know I'm the expert, so that they see me as the influencer, because I've already built the foundation to get them there. And now I'm just going to get in front of them over and over and over again with a bunch of events. And I'm going to prime them and get them ready to buy at some point. That's not my goal for my visibility strategy. I need to get seen. I need to be known. I need to be, looked at as the expert. But the eventual goal is when people start seeing that, they're going to start to want to buy. And I've got this amazing message and this amazing product and I've got this amazing service and I know it is going to change lives. And I always say that if you can look at your business foundation when you're first starting out and say, I know exactly who I am targeting. I mean, you've got to know. And I can tell you that this is the biggest mistake I've made over and over and over again. You think I would learn the lesson the first time, but every time I start a new business, I kind of flounder on this. And it takes me so much longer to get established in a business. I've had businesses in the past where just they flopped because I didn't understand the ideal audience. So you have to know who you want to target and why you're targeting them. And then how are you connecting to them? What is your story? What is your why? You don't have that foundational stuff in place and you don't think that your product or service could change the world or change the life of somebody, then you're going to struggle. You really need to stand out from your competitors. And that standing out factor is you as a human being and what you bring to the table that is so completely unique and different from everybody else, and then being able to explain it to the right people. So that's where you've got to start. Once you've got all that, a campaign strategy like this is, the next level you.
Right. And I want to get to that next level, especially because that's, you know, that's what you do every day. But staying kind of in the first part right now, one thing that I'm struggling with is you're talking about just kind of, you know, getting the basics in place, putting out content, building the trust and stuff like that. There's so many mediums out there now, many of them, most of which are free, in which you can put out content, you know, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, like the list goes on, LinkedIn. How do you pick or decide or narrow down which ones to focus on? Because we only have so many hours in the day, right? I mean, and right. I know there's technology to help, you know, you can post one thing here and it posts it to there and it posts it to there. But what would you suggest, again, someone maybe on the newer end, they want to get started, they only have so many hours in the day. What would you advise them in terms of creating content and where to put it?
Right. Well, this is a really common question. And I'm going to tell you that every single business I've run has a different answer.
Right.
You know, and that's the tricky thing. And it goes back to, what is your foundation? Who are you targeting? So for example, if you are a service-based business and you are offering other services to entrepreneurs, a really incredible platform that I would say you are missing out on if you're not on already is LinkedIn. And here, let's just say this. Everybody comes back and says, I have a LinkedIn. And I say, okay, are you leveraging it? And they'll be like, I don't even know how to use it. So, yeah. You know, there's this stigma that like you use LinkedIn because you're looking for a job. And that's just not true. I can tell you that I would do so many LinkedIn trainings in the corporate sector. And at the end of the week, I would walk around the office and every single person at the office would be on LinkedIn. And I can promise you, none of them were on LinkedIn to look for a job.
Right.
They saw it as a business development opportunity. They saw it as a hiring opportunity. I mean, every single person was in a different position within the organization, but after a LinkedIn training, all of a sudden they were like, oh, like I could use this for this. I could use this for this. Like I used LinkedIn to gain participants in my campaigns, collaboration partners, Facebook Live guest speakers. That's where I went. I went to LinkedIn because I knew that that was where my conversation was happening and I wanted to be a part of that conversation. So that's a great one that a lot of entrepreneurs forget about. LinkedIn is huge. In 2018, oh my goodness, 2018 was huge for LinkedIn. Just in LinkedIn alone, I ran a campaign. I didn't run the campaign on any other platform. I only ran a campaign on LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah, I've used it for my main hustle, so to speak. And it's amazing, strictly for the search function alone and the fact yes. that you can target people so closely and then send them custom invite messages has been huge for me.
It is. I have definitely done a lot of seminars where I have sat there and talked about LinkedIn as a lead generation tool for small businesses.
Right.
You know, I can't tell you how many times people come to my inbox saying, I'd love to get on a call and work with you from LinkedIn. Right. It happens. It's funny, depending on your industry, it happens at a much more frequent rate than it does for a Facebook group or, you know, your own platforms on other channels. So LinkedIn is one. You know, I went viral by using a strategy on Twitter, but a lot of entrepreneurs aren't using Twitter. So think about where your target audience is and, you know, who you are targeting and what platforms they use on a day-to-day basis. If you're targeting HR managers, professional people, business owners that want to be influencers, they're on LinkedIn. If you are targeting, you know, moms and people who are running small businesses and who are looking for community and advice and support, I've definitely seen a lot of that in Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. Instagram is really great for businesses. There are so many businesses on LinkedIn on Instagram, and they are looking for that influencer status as well. That's a great platform too. So it really depends on who you are and what you're doing and where your target audience is. And you can definitely eliminate certain platforms based on that.
Right. Yeah, that's a great answer. So let's take a step up to the next level. Let's say you've built that base, you have some following, and you're looking to run a campaign either to sell a product or service, or maybe just, you know, something, maybe not even at that point yet, like to grow your email list, or to, right, you know, get a Facebook group up and started with a, you know, few hundred members or however many you want. What are your suggestions? I mean, I understand part of this answer will be, it depends, you know, as most things do in business, but do you have any general tips?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I have about 5 steps that I say you need to walk yourself through in order to build out a successful campaign. And so the first step that I always say, it goes back to kind of what we've already talked about. You need to have a kick butt business that means more to you than money. It really has to hold your heart, and it has to change the life of you and your clients. So campaigns at the root must be authentic. If you build a campaign with your plan to pitch all the time or to sell people, you'll be able to weave that into your campaign naturally. But if your end goal is like, I'm going to run this thing and I'm going to make all this money off of it, that's not a visibility campaign. You really need to think about why your audience would want to interact, and they don't want to interact to be sold to. They want to interact to be part of something bigger than themselves too. And they want a solution to their problems. And those are the campaigns that do the best. The second step is to create a theme. So to do that, you need to know who you are. You need to know what your business is, and you need to know what your audience's biggest problem is. So you have to understand, what is the biggest thing I'm an expert in? One thing, not 20, one thing that you want to be known for. What is that very specific one thing that you are an expert at? And then how is your audience's biggest problem in the world going to be solved by the one thing that you're an expert at? And does your audience want to talk about it? And, you know, are they willing to join the conversation to have their questions be answered or to offer their opinion on that topic? So that becomes your theme. The third thing you do is set a time frame. I usually recommend about a month, unless it's specifically for some sort of holiday or, you know, a themed week. Sometimes those make sense for a campaign. So like Small Business Week, or, you know, there's different awareness months of the year. So if there's a theme for a topic that's already kind of set by society, then yes, that would work. I've done 1 week long campaigns. I've done 2 week long campaigns. I've done month long campaigns. The process is the same, but you can definitely leverage a pre-launch, a launch, and a post-launch all in a month, a lot easier than like a 1 week time period, but it can happen, and it's what makes sense for you, your business, your audience, and your campaign topic. The fourth thing you need to have is a pivotal keyword or phrase. So I usually recommend you do this by creating a hashtag. So your hashtag can be something that's already being used online, or it's a hashtag you can create on your own. The big thing is if this campaign is very successful, if that hashtag stood alone just on, you know, the sidebar of Facebook, you know, as a topic discussed for today, would a target audience member be able to look at that hashtag and understand instantly what it was about, who it was for, and what the conversation would be like? So you have to be very specific in your hashtag. If you're targeting moms, then you probably need to say that. If you're talking about, you know, graphic design or an element of graphic design like Photoshop, you need to say that. Because if it does very well, you have to be able to attract other people who are your ideal audience, even if they weren't part of the original marketing campaign and they stumbled upon it. And they have to be able to say like, oh, I want to be a part of that. And I will tell you that when I went viral, because my hashtag was crystal clear as to who it was for and what it was about, it started bringing in people who would recommend that hashtag to other individuals and tag them in it. Like, hey, I know you fit this category. You should jump into this conversation. It's trending right now. So you have to be able to create that for your audience too. So don't self-sabotage yourself by creating a very vague hashtag. If you use a hashtag that's already in use, it's easier to get a little bit momentum on it because you already know who your collab partners could be because people are already using it. But it's a little bit harder to track the data on it because you're competing against other people who are already using it for other reasons. It's easier to get hijacked. If you're creating a hashtag that is something you've created yourself, it's easier to track the numbers, but it's definitely harder to market because it's not already like what I would consider a household, you know, hashtag to use. So think about that, the pros and cons and what your goals are, and then come up with that keyword or phrase that will be the topic, theme, and name of your campaign and the hashtag to go along with it. And then finally, your last step is to build out those marketing tactics and what those events are to leverage that keyword or phrase or that hashtag or that conversation. And those are really the steps to a campaign. And I'm sure if you're listening to this right now, you're going through those steps going, what could I do? What would that look like for me? That's definitely something that I hear a lot. And if you need help walking yourself through that process, you can absolutely contact me at the end of this and we can talk offline about it. But those are really the five steps that I use to build out any campaign I do.
Awesome. That's great to hear, Jenny. We're coming to the end here. I do want to respect that time that you respect so much. I have one selfish question, and then mm-hmm. We'll give you a chance to kind of plug whatever you want to plug. If someone like me was looking to grow their email list, so I mm-hmm. love writing emails. My folk right now, I send 3 emails a week to help entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs start and grow their service businesses. That's pretty much what all my content focuses on. What would you recommend to me to try and grow my email list a little bit more?
Yeah. Okay. So these are events that I also offer in my Done For You packages, and they're part of the marketing tactics that I recommend people try. There's a couple things that I've tested and that worked for me. One is a challenge. So if you have a Facebook group or an email list in general, you can run challenges. So what you can do is set up a landing page for that challenge, promote the landing page and the link as a marketing campaign in and of itself, and then collect those email addresses for that challenge. And then the thank you page can either lead them to your Facebook group where the challenge takes place, or it can send them straight to a welcome email from you, and you can run the challenge within your email. So if you pick a great topic, that's a great way to get email signups, either sending them as like almost like a twofer, sending them through your email list and sending them into your Facebook group, or just sending them straight to your email list. So that's one tactic. The second tactic I have used is online summits. This is when you bring a group of collaborators together and they go live and they teach something of value to your audience. And so you set up a landing page, you tell that potential audience what they would be getting by signing up for this free online summit and who will be speaking at it and you know what they're going to be talking about. And then they sign up for it, and then you have an email funnel that sends them through that online summit and tells them about each one of those presenters, gives, you know, basically plugs those presenters, tells them what time they're going live, invites them to that live broadcast, gives them the link. And then that's a great way to build your email list as well. And then I think the final way that you can do it is, you know, really hosting a contest of some kind. I actually have one other way. You can host a contest and have people sign up through email. And then another thing you can do is host a webinar where you do that training yourself. And you have a sign up page to get access to that webinar. So that right there, that's 4 ways that you could build your email list through creating an event and then creating a marketing strategy. And honest to gosh, I would do all 4 because that's right. A campaign right there.
Right. Yeah, no, those are great answers. I've been leaning towards the webinar route, so stay tuned, folks. So I might have some questions for you off air. But Jenny, this has been really great, just like packed with a lot of valuable information that's really applicable to me, so it's been great. Where can we find you? Do you want to mention kind of some of your programs again, where people could find out about those, whatever you want to mention?
Yeah, absolutely. So my signature package is a 1-month long done for you campaign. I basically do everything for you from start to finish. I build out all of your email sales funnels. I build out all of your contests. I build out all of your collaborations and your pitch emails to send to people. Do all that PR research for you for podcasts, guest blogs, magazines, newspapers, and radio outreach. And then I help you build events like this, like a webinar, like an online summit, a challenge of some kind. It's very tailored to the business and what their goals are. But basically, I create all the marketing strategies, the graphics, the social media posts, the PR, the emails, everything you would need to launch, you know, multiple events over the course of 1 month and get your audience involved in it, and then also have partners to help you promote it with you. So that package is my signature package. A lot of the topics that we have talked about today are included in that. They're one element, one marketing strategy within that, and we basically build a robust plan from start to finish. You can find more about that package on my website at www.jhmarketingresults.com, and I'm also on social media, obviously. So my Instagram is Results in a Month. My Twitter is Results in a Month. My Facebook page is Results in a Month. And I also have a Facebook community for female online US entrepreneurs who are making current 5K months and ready to level up their business. I do a lot of free trainings in that Facebook group and really walk you through the steps of building your business visibility once you've already mastered that foundation. And that is also at www.facebook.com/groups/results in a month. So thank you so awesome. Much, Josh. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on, Jenny. We will link to all those in the description. And again, really appreciate your time, and we'll definitely be keeping in touch.
Appreciate you as well. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a great one.
Hey everyone, Josh checking in just one more time. Wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.